Welcome to another broadcast of Studying the Scriptures. I'm your host, Dr. Todd Baker, Director of Berit Hadashah Ministries in Dallas, Texas. Today we continue our great study of the supreme subject of biblical revelation, and that would be none other than the Messiah. Messianic prophecy serves as the infallible standard and inerrant criteria for determining the true Messiah from the false messiahs that have come and will come, particularly within Jewish history and Judaism. That is one of the chief reasons why God gives us detailed prophecies about the Messiah whom He would send, so that when He would come, His credentials would be authentic and true by virtue of the fact that He fulfilled prophecy. And there's only one person in history who has accomplished such a supernatural feat. There have been over 40 people in Jewish history who have claimed to be the Messiah. And yet, the one common feature among them all is that they did not fulfill, even in the remotest way, any of the major messianic prophecies that were given. Now, we are talking about prophecies that pertain to the first coming of the Messiah. The sheer volume and the time that it would take would necessitate that the Messiah would have to come more than once. And His first coming, we are told, as we look back on these events, would primarily be to suffer and die as the final atonement for the sins and iniquities of Israel, and also for the whole world. His message then would be proclaimed, sounded forth from Jerusalem to all the world, and a great company of Gentiles would come to believe upon Him during the time of Israel's rejection of their own Messiah. And we see that unfolding to this very day. We have looked at prophecies about the place of birth and the time of Messiah's coming. The place of His birth and the time of His coming. When you look at it objectively, and when you study it thoroughly, you will see that only one person in Jewish history has fulfilled all the messianic prophecies up to this point, with many of them remaining to be fulfilled, not by another Messiah, but by the same Messiah who will come again. And there is only one person which history tells us did these things, and that would be Jesus of Nazareth. No other person can come close. And I believe that the Holy Spirit purposely designed these prophecies to appear to be contradictory, though they are not really, and apparently complicated. We have seen this by looking at the different places that a Messiah would come from. Micah 5 tells us He would be born in Bethlehem. And yet Isaiah 9 says He would appear in northern Galilee. Hosea 11, using Israel's exodus as an analogy or a type, says God's Son, whom the Messiah is, would come forth out of Egypt. Matthew says that He would be called a Nazarene, hence He would live in a place, in a town called Nazareth. So how could the Messiah come from all these different places? Well, it can occur when you consider that the Messiah's early life comprised of several events allowing these very prophecies to be fulfilled. And may I add as an aside that you see the same thing concerning the Messiah's return to this earth. There are several places in the prophets where the Messiah will appear in Bozrah or Petra, which is located in modern-day Jordan. And yet there are other predictions that say he will touch down on the Mount of Olives. And yet there's other prophecies that say that he will fight in the Valley of Armageddon in northern Israel. And like the prophecies concerning Messiah's appearing in certain places at his first coming, these prophecies shall also be fulfilled with the Messiah's coming to all of those places. One does not exclude the other. And so, let us now move on in our great study of Messianic prophecy. Let us look at the Messiah's forerunner. Yes, the prophets foretold that Messiah would have an ambassador, a prophetic ambassador, if you will, who will go before him and prepare the way. You might call this forerunner an advance man. He would go before the Messiah, would come to Israel, and would appear to the Jewish people, and he would prepare the nation to receive him. Yes, Messianic prophecy tells us that there would come one who would prepare the way for Messiah's coming. Isaiah 43 says, "The voice of him that cries in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight." Isaiah 40 verse 3. So a voice would pierce the howling silence of the wilderness, and he would proclaim a message calling upon Israel to prepare themselves for the coming of the Lord. This forerunner would also be foretold in the last book of the Old Testament, Malachi. Malachi 3. In verse 1 we read, "Behold," this is the Lord speaking, "Behold, I send my messenger, and he will prepare the way before me." My messenger, who will prepare the way before me? Now, in the ancient Near East, when monarchs would make a long trip to another province or to another city or even a nation, there would be an advance team or a delegation that would be sent, and they would prepare the way for the monarch. And that would entail removing any obstacle or any impediment that would impede his travel. And that's what we have here with the one who would prepare the way of the Lord. The Messiah King would send this herald, this advance man, to clear away any and every spiritual, psychological, or religious obstacle that would prevent people from receiving him and accepting him. And this advance man, this one who would prepare the way for the Lord, would make all obstacles that were crooked straight. He would lift every valley and level every hill or mountain that stood in the way for Messiah's arrival. Who was this person? Now, if the Messiah has come, then according to the prophetic scriptures, the one whose way he would prepare would have to come before Messiah. So any and all of those people in Jewish history who have claimed to be the Messiah, did they have one who came and did this very thing for them, calling upon all Jewish people to prepare their hearts and their lives for the coming of the Messiah? There was only one. And you know who that one is. Jesus of Nazareth. His prophet, the one who would prepare his way, was born before him. His name is Yohanan HaMatbil, John the Baptist. John the Baptist. Jesus affirmed that John fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah 43 and Malachi 3:1 in Matthew 11. John sends a delegation of followers from him to Jesus to make sure Jesus was the Messiah whose way he prepared. Now, why did John do that? Well, John had been languishing and wasting away in the dark, dank dungeon of Machaerus, one of the palaces that Herod built in Galilee. The reason why he was there is because Herod arrested John, because John censored, sternly rebuked Herod's taking his brother's wife and marrying her, which was a violation of God's law. And Herod stood against that, John the Baptist stood against that and boldly rebuked this depraved and wicked king for doing so. And so Herod, in order to shut him up, arrested and imprisoned him. And John stayed there and began to rethink what he had said about Jesus, because John obviously did not see the church age interposed between the first coming of the Messiah and the second coming. He believed, if you read his words and study his teachings in the New Testament, he believed that when the Messiah would come, he would make atonement for sin, and at the same time would also bring the Messianic kingdom and destroy and judge the enemies of God's people. Jesus did not do the latter. He came to die first, and when he returns, he will execute judgment on the wicked. John didn't know this, and so he began wondering if Jesus were indeed the Messiah. Surely, if he is, he would bring this kingdom to bear, and it would conquer. It would conquer the enemies of Messiah and the Lord, and subsequently John would be freed from the wicked Herod's imprisonment. So Jesus reassured John's delegation, and by virtue of that reassured John of who Jesus really was. He did miracles in front of them, reminding them that he was the Messiah, because the prophets, specifically Isaiah, foretold that Messiah would indeed given, Messiah would perform miracles, giving the blind sight, allowing the lame to walk, the lepers being cleansed, the deaf giving their hearing back, and the dead raised. And all of this was foretold of the Messiah. And so Jesus reassures John's heart that His mission of preparing the Messiah stood true, because Jesus was the Messiah, proven by the fact that he did the very miracles the prophets foretold Messiah would do when he would come. And so all that leads to what Jesus said about John in Matthew 11, verse 7. As they departed, Jesus began to say to the multitudes concerning John, "What did you go out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken by the wind? But what did you go out to see? A man clothed in soft garments? Indeed, those who wear soft clothing are in kings' houses. But what did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I say to you, and more than a prophet, for this is he of whom it is written, Behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way before you. And so here the Lord Jesus is confirming that John was his forerunner to prepare his coming to Israel, and he cites Malachi. He cites Malachi 3:1 as proof of that prophecy, thus confirming that John prepared the way for Jesus the Messiah. And Jesus goes on to say, in verse 11 of Matthew 11, Surely I say to you, among those born of women there has not risen one greater than John the Baptist. So he was the greatest prophet of the Old Testament era because of the fact he prepared the way for the personal coming of the Lord and Messiah himself. And so John gave himself to complete devotion to this highest of all divine callings and missions that was given in the Old Testament era. He shunned the company of men. He lived in isolation. He lived with great austerity. And he proclaimed the truth of Messiah's imminent coming with unshakable conviction. He did not vacillate from the message of proclaiming God's word to Israel. And they were to prepare, Israel was to prepare for Messiah's arrival by showing what? Repentance. Repentance, which entails acknowledging that you are a guilty lawbreaker before God and therefore deserve His punishment and condemnation. So first you acknowledge that in your heart and your mind, and then you turn from those things, those sins that displease God, and surrender in faith to the one, the Messiah, who would save you from this guilt. That is what John's message of repentance basically entailed. And repentance just wasn't for Israel. John's message of repentance was reverberated by Jesus himself. The first words that Jesus proclaimed when he started his ministry as Messiah to Israel was, Repent. Repent. And when Jesus gave the Great Commission to the church, they were to do this. They were to do this by proclaiming that repentance and remissions of sin should be preached in the name of Jesus to all nations beginning at Jerusalem. Luke 24:47. Paul told the Athenians in Acts 17, Greeks, pagans, Gentiles. He said that God commands all men everywhere to repent. So repentance just wasn't dispensationally or historically confined and limited to Israel during Jesus' day when John and he preached it. No, repentance is part and parcel of the salvation experience. It is not a antecedent work to earn salvation, but repentance is part of that salvation. And this is what John was to preach. Repentance was the proper way that Israel was to prepare for the Messiah's coming. And so John completely devoted himself to this epical event of all the ages. The Messiah was to come, and he was to come after his way was prepared by Messiah's forerunner, that being John the Baptist. For we read in Matthew 3:1-3 and Luke 3:3-6, In those days John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea. This is he that was spoken by the prophet Isaiah, saying, The voice of one crying in the wilderness, Prepare the way of the Lord. John affirmed that he was the forerunner of Messiah, foretold and prophesied 700 years before he was born by Isaiah. John the Baptist said in John 1:23, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness. We learn from the Gospel of Luke that John the Baptist was born some 6 months before Jesus' birth, and they were cousins. John was called the prophet of the highest. He was, as Jesus said, the greatest of all Old Testament prophets because of the supreme privilege and preeminent honor conferred upon him. And that was, he was to personally prepare Israel for the Messiah's coming. After John, the divine economy of the Old Testament would conclude, and Jesus would bring in the new era of the new covenant or the new testament. And so, again, the prophecy has been fulfilled. Messiah's forerunner has come and prepared the way for the first coming of Messiah. God gave Israel plenty of time to wake up, stand at attention, and be ready for the first coming of the Messiah. John was a prophetic herald, a sign to Israel that the Messiah was at the door. His coming was would occur at any moment, at any time. It was imminent. As we move on to look at other major prophecies concerning the Messiah, we also note, as they relate to Messiah's birth, that there were names given to the Messiah before his birth, before he was even born, centuries before he was born, before the Messiah was born. He was to be given certain names and titles designating who he is, showing us what he was by nature. When you think about it, parents who expect the birth of their child must determine first the sex of that child so that they can either give it a male or female name. And usually, in view of this anticipated event, the parents will make a list of both male and female names. So once the sex is determined, they can choose a name. But with Yeshua or Jesus, he was assigned and given several names before his birth, showing the certainty of Messiah's coming. This is designated by the fact that throughout the Scriptures, a frequent authoritative declaration is used of Messiah in this way: He shall be called, and so forth. Now, in Hebrew culture and belief, names were given to individuals as a synonym for a characteristic, an attribute displayed by that individual. This is why we need to pay close attention to the names that were given to the Messiah before he came. And these names would show us what kind of person he would be. And when we look at the New Testament itself and compare it with the Old Testament, we will see that several names were given to the Messiah. First of all, the name that frequently occurs most of the time that was applied to the Messiah is his first name, Yeshua, or Jesus. He was, "You shall call his name Jesus," the angel told Mary and Joseph. "You shall call his name Jesus." Matthew 1:25. This name right away shows us the office and role of this Messiah. Yeshua means the Lord is salvation, or salvation of the Lord. Herbert Lockyer, in his grand work called All the Messianic Prophecies of the Bible, says that the name of Jesus is used of Messiah more often than any other in the New Testament. That is true. Furthermore, it is mentioned in both the first and the last verses of the New Testament. Matthew 1:1, ending in Revelation 22:21. And in Revelation 22:21, we have a triad of Messiah's designations: Jesus, Yeshua. Now remember, Jesus is the Greek transliteration of the Hebrew Yeshua or Joshua. So before the Messiah would be born, his name would be the Lord of Salvation, Yeshua. Yeshua means Jehovah. Salvation is of the Lord, or Jehovah's salvation, or salvation of Jehovah. Jehovah really can be translated as Yahweh. So this would be the major office and role of Messiah. He was to bring God's salvation to humanity. He would be God's instrument to save sinners, to save His people from their sins. So Messiah would be born a Savior, and His personal name, Yeshua, would obviously point to His role as Savior. And so it is quite important to remember that every time the Old Testament uses the word salvation, which its root word is Yeshua or Jesus, especially with the Hebrew suffix meaning my, your, or his, with very few exceptions, when the word is used as an impersonal sense, it is identically the same word as Yeshua, Jesus. And this is what the angel told Joseph in Matthew 1:25. "You shall call his name Yeshua, because he will save." He will save his people from their sins. Matthew 1:21-25. So virtually every time you read the word Yeshua or salvation in the Old Testament, it is the name for Jesus. And Yeshua's name appears throughout the Old Testament. It appears in the plain text, and also others believe that the word Yeshua is encoded into virtually every messianic prophecy of the Old Testament. And next time we will talk more on that subject when we resume our grand study, The Marvelous Messiah. Until then, Shalom, Yeshua HaMashiach Alechem. May the peace of Jesus the Messiah be with you. Stay tuned. The announcer will tell us how you can get a hold of us and how you can support our vital end time teaching ministry to the church and gospel outreach to the Jewish people of Israel.